Well, thank you very much for the greeting and for the invitation to be here. It is, as you suggested, a little bit squeezed in, so I apologise for not having been here to hear the early part of your session, and I apologise that very shortly after I shall be going again, which is rather the thing, the habit that ministers have. But that doesn't mean to say that I don't have a very real and personal interest in the work that's going on here. I'm still learning the job. I'm the minister responsible for faith and social cohesion, so you know, nothing too serious to deal with there. And I'm very much looking forward to meeting many of you in other contexts and to listening to what you have to say. I obviously should declare a personal interest. I'm a non-conformist Christian myself, and I believe that the role of faith communities in our society has always been a strong one and should continue to be so. And it's good to see this conference taking place. I think it builds on the momentum that was created at last week's anti-hate crime event marking the 5th anniversary of 7/7, and when, as you know better than I do, faith leaders and others signed up to taking a stand against hatred between and within communities, setting us the goal of promoting a new sense of collective community responsibility. And the shared commitments that Christian and Muslim leaders are making today, and the letter that I know that you are working on to churches and mosques, reinforces that, and I think is a very powerful and important signal. Faith communities make a vital contribution to national life. They guide the moral outlook of many. They inspire a great number of people to public service, not just in church and mosque-based organisations and faith-based organisations, but when you look at the voluntary and charitable sector anywhere across the UK, you'll find that it's the same people who are putting their faith into practical action, serving the community. So that contribution is great, and it's good to see that across the country, Christians and Muslims work hard to address problems, not only in their own community, but looking much more widely to society. Churches in particular have got the buildings, the experience and the volunteers, which means that they can help very often at the heart of service delivery to, let's say, to the homeless and to others in need. And mosques have got a particular role in providing support to Muslims who've newly arrived in this country from all over the world, as well as serving established communities. And I have to say, in this building, how could it be otherwise? I'm very well aware of the key role that the Church of England is playing at a local level, supporting the capacity and development of Muslim communities and other faith communities. And of course, there is a strong cross-faith human interaction here this morning, and the presence and engagement program that the Church has is a valuable contributor to that. But we all know there's work to do. And that's why you're here today. All too often, the church and the mosque in any area are pretty much oblivious to each other and to the work that they're both doing, often to tackle the same problems. And that's what this conference is about, I hope. Challenging that ignorance and building effective and friendly working relationships, not just between the clergy, but also between the congregations, who quite often live in separate little boxes where they don't come across each other very much. And of course, this isn't about compromising individual beliefs. In fact, often we can understand our own faith better when we've had the opportunity to discuss and debate it with others looking at it from outside. It's about building respect for other people, the recognition that we do have shared values and shared needs, and what's more to the point, a shared wish to take things further. Now, from the government's perspective, interfaith activity is an important component of the big society that we want to build. The big society is in capital letters. It's about taking the power and decision-making at the centre here in Whitehall and Westminster in London, pushing that down to local communities, to local neighbourhoods, to allow them to take decisions about how their community should be run and managed and how it should operate. And it's not just about sitting around tables, although today that's a very important part of what's it's about going beyond that and making sure that practical action is taking place locally. And initiatives like this one can help to bind together local communities. It can improve relations at a time when maybe the voices of extremism are getting more raucous, not least because of the social and economic pressures on communities that we serve. So I bring a little bit of good news, I think. Looking forward to Interfaith Week 2010 this November, which I hope will be another focus for Christian and Muslim activity. I'm in a position this morning to announce that despite the very difficult financial circumstances the country faces, we are able to make some funds available to allow national interfaith organisations like this and like faith representative bodies to run activities during that week. And I can also say that we have decided to continue the Faiths in Action scheme with grants up to £6,000 to support innovative local interfaith projects. I'm told that we've got 113 projects already up and running. And I hope very much that if there are local communities here who don't even know what I'm talking about or haven't applied yet, that you will get into action on that. Now, I think I do have to say something about the Prevent programme, which is one we've inherited with the change of government. There's no doubt at all that violent extremism threatens community cohesion. And of course, the government does have an important role in challenging it. But I accept that in doing so, sometimes we've actually made cohesion a bit harder to achieve. We've conveyed an impression that the problem is the Muslims. And at the same time, we've actually succeeded in alienating some others, Hindus and Sikhs, who perhaps feel they have been left out of the attention and penalised for good behaviour. Well, that's paradoxical, it's wrong, and we clearly want to change that. And we're looking at all aspects of the counter-terrorism strategy that the government has used. And that will include a review of legislation. You may have seen a vote yesterday on one aspect of that. And there's going to be a longer cross-Whitehall review of Prevent. And we are in active discussion with organisations and those with interest in that. If that is perhaps the sharp, gloomy, hard end of it, the other side of the coin is that we are about promoting integration. And that's what people in this room are doing. You actually don't need the government to make interfaith dialogue happen. And we should perhaps say thank goodness for that. But we're very keen to encourage it. We're very keen to see it happen. And we believe it can produce some very positive results for community cohesion and the future health of our society. You are part of what we want to see. People reaching out to each other across boundaries of religion to make life better for everyone. Well, I want to thank you for listening. I'm looking forward to doing some listening, and I welcome any contributions that people want to make. I want to hear what the barriers are and what we think the way is to get over those barriers. But I also want to hear any success stories that you think maybe I should hear about and pass on and recommend to others. As I said at the beginning, like government ministers throughout the ages, I arrive late, speak and leave early, but I hope you'll give me a chance to listen a little bit to what you want to tell me as well. Thank you.